Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Our next guest, always a pleasure, as you would know, to have on the program. And he's always up early these days, which is great.
Yeah, and apparently he's on our coast right now.
He's in Jersey.
Yeah.
And we had just heard a little blurb the other day about Clerks 3, and I can't wait to dive into some of that stuff, and Masters of the Universe Revelation,
yeah,
which is available on Netflix now. So let's give some love to Mr. Kevin Smith this morning. Hey, hey, hey. Good day, Kevin.
It's always a joy calling in to you guys just to hear words like Schuylkill. Like like words, names of my childhood that I mispronounced forever until Mayor of Eastland.
Yeah,
said it out
exactly.
Loud. How are you kids doing? I'm on your time zone, man. I'm going to be here for the next month and change. We started rehearsals for Clerks 3 yesterday.
It's wow. So cool. I saw, yeah, I follow you on Instagram. I think we all do. And you were doing a table read with the cast, and at least some of the cast. And it's, you know, you can tell you are in your element. Clerks is such an important, you know, movie series now for you. And you're hitting all the old locations, correct?
Absolutely. This one is, you know, follows my heart attack storyline. Randall. Yeah. Has a heart attack and realizes that he's done nothing with his life and wants to memorialize himself by making a movie. So essentially Dante and Randall make Clerks. So the boys go through the same adventure that I went through to get here in the first place. So it's an incredibly meta motion picture that really combines Clerks and Clerks 2 to kind of make Clerks 3. Everybody looks amazing.
Yes.
Jeff looks like he hasn't aged a damn day. Ernie O'Donnell, who played the trainer, because everybody comes back. Like, literally everybody you saw in Clerks, with the exception of our good friend Lisa Spoonhauer, who passed away years ago. She played Caitlin. With the exception of anybody who's died, everybody comes back. Because as they make the movie, we re-show the entire movie. So it has this incredible effect of seeing scenes that you've seen before played by old people.
Wow.
You know, the same dialogue. Same positions, but everyone's older, with the exception of Ernie O'Donnell, my friend who plays the trainer, Rick Darris, who's like, you know, guys, like, I'm a trainer. He not only has he not aged a day, he's a damn Dorian Gray. Dude weighs 2 pounds less than he weighed when we made Clerks. It's kind of astounding.
But you know, you look phenomenal. And yeah. It's funny, though, because I loved, you know, the second Clerks film as well. And I think you said that.
Thank you.
That has a particular warm spot in your heart, because that, you know, you remember where you were at that point in your life. And I think you were just starting to say, you know, to dip into the older stuff and revive these films and these characters that people have loved. And is that what that movie Clerks 2 represents to you?
Yeah, Clerks 2 is one of my favorite films I've ever made, like, of everything. I know a lot of people are partial to Clerks. I am, too. It gave me everything. But Clerks 2 was like kind of where I took my characters and gave them the same freedom that they gave me. Like, at the end of the story, they buy their own destiny. Like, instead of working for somebody else, they figure out, like, I'd rather work for myself than work for some other AH. And that was, like, so important to me, because that's what those fictional characters gave to me. Now I get to give to them exactly what they gave to me with making that movie. Like, making Clerks changed my life. Now I get to return the favor for those characters. So Clerks was very close to real life. Like, that was literally what I did every day. I wasn't a writer as much as I just documented my life and changed names. Clerks 2 is a piece of fabrication. None of those things happened to me. I never worked at a fast food joint. I never went to any of the issues. I never went to a donkey show. So all of that.
Never went to a donkey show.
Yeah, put that in the New York Post.
Right.
But Clerks 3 closely resembles my real life in the way that Clerks did, in as much as I'm stealing directly from it. Not only does the main character have a heart attack, one of the main characters have a heart attack, they also try to make a movie as well. So in an odd way, it's incredibly biographical the way that, like, Clerks was. But it's so fun, man. Like, we did the read-through yesterday. Jay Muse had me crying out loud. Jay and Tom Bob are used to the perfect, absolute perfect amount. Not too much, not too little.
Right.
Trevor Furman is back as Elias, and he is absolutely hysterical. He was our Christian guy. But Brian and Jeff bouncing off one another. You know, I've heard everything that Dante and Randall have ever said to one another over and over again via the movies, the cartoons. But to hear something new, to hear Randall talk about cancel culture, something that I'm deeply familiar with after this weekend, is absolutely thrilling for me. And, you know, I'm breathing rare air. Michael Apted, the great director, Michael Apted.
Legendary.
Legendary. He gave us Coal Miner's Daughter, amongst other movies. He was a documentarian who would make a series of films called 7 Up, 14 Up, 21 Up, that followed this group of children.
They're amazing.
Every 7 years, he would check in with them. Like, this is the same kind of air that we're breathing, the same kind of Richard Linklater Before Sunrise air, of being able to return to characters, not in a sequel to make money, but because you care about the characters, because you, you know, checking in 15 years later is not a financially viable version to do a sequel. So clearly we're doing it for the love.
You know, it's what's odd. Well, not odd. Actually, you know, it's kind of wonderful is that with Jay and Silent Bob and with Clerks, you know, with the last Jay and Silent Bob film, it had that Kevin Smith has had some life experiences that he's going to impart in the script. It was every bit as funny as you wanted it to be, but there were just moments of wonderful, nostalgic, I'm with my friends, I'm hanging out and having a good time.
You know who does it expertly right now? Ted Lasso.
Oh, God, dude, come on.
That kind of comedy, and I'm not saying we're as funny as Ted Lasso, but that kind of comedy where you are legit laughing.
Yeah.
Not like the normal kind of sitcom smirk, but you're like, oh, my God, this is funny. And then you are legit choking up because these people care for one another. Not only can they be sardonic with one another and cynical, as we're used to in the world of comedy, but they care for each other deeply at the end of the day.
It's very Frank Capra-esque. When somebody asked me to describe why the show is so good, is that it can do that Frank Capra walk the line. You legitimately care. No one is ultimately evil or ultimately wonderful. Everyone has foibles, and everyone's being human, and that's what makes it so wonderful.
Another great example of that people can watch right now on HBO Max is Hacks. Have you guys watched
that? I love it. Massive fan.
She's so amazing. The whole cast is amazing, but it is wickedly funny and then very human at the same time. Like, I love, you know, cynical humor. Don't get me wrong. I'll watch Rick and Morty all day long, but even Rick and Morty finds ways to punch through every once in a while and grab you in the heart, man, because you just can't play on the surface all the time. The older one gets, the more cards you got to play with. When I was a boy, when I was in my 20s, all I could do was make fun of things, stand there and point at things and mock and scoff.
Right.
But the older you get, the more nuanced your sense of humor becomes because you have more cards to play with. There's more life experience. You can deal with subject matter that I never would have been able to touch in my 20s. So it's been thrilling. And hearing the boys and the girls, because Jennifer, who played Emma in Clerks 2, is with us. We were missing yesterday Rosario, who plays Becky, and Marilyn Gigliotti plays Veronica. They're both elsewhere right now. But hearing everybody read it out loud, I even said to Jeff, I was like young Kevin Smith could not have written this because he just didn't have enough life experience. Not that he wasn't good enough, but like he doesn't know what it feels like to almost die. He doesn't know what it feels like to be facing less years in front of you than you have behind you. Mm. So it's really developed, man. I love it so much.
It's a good place to be at, and I think of you as the writer, and I think, you know, they say in a nightmare or a dream, you're everyone in the dream, and these are all facets of you. So when you hear words that are different little separate parts of you read back to you by the people whose voices you know so well, that's got to be a singularly incredible experience.
Oh, yeah, and sometimes people will try to kind of, you know, dim your glow by saying, like, all of his characters sound exactly like him. That was a criticism I would get when the internet first kind of opened up back in, like, the mid to late 90s.
Well, fortunately, the internet's gotten much kinder since then.
Thank God. Thank God I've been around since the beginning and I know how to handle this sort of thing. But I remember people being like, oh, all his characters sound like him. And that was meant to make me change and be better. And now that I'm older, I'm like, no, I like that all my characters sound like me. All of Aaron Sorkin's characters sound like him. All of Stan Lee's characters sounded like him. There's something to be said for an author's voice punching through their characters. Very distinctive. And, you know, I'm not as good at writing as others, so I guess I can't blend into the material. I make myself part of the material. That's part of the fun for me and stuff. So hearing those cats say my words out loud is fun because I'm like, oh, my God, Dante and Randall are saying it works. But at the same time, it's also like, yeah, man, those are my words. A lot of the stuff that I have like in Clerks 2, when we did the Lord of the Rings stuff, that was like a bit I used to do on stage all the time.
Yeah.
And it was tried and true, and so I just gave it to Randall to do. So, like, in this world, in Clerks 3, all of the heart attack material has been tried and true and tested on the road for 3 years since the heart attack, and then I put it into the script. And then all of the making of Clerks 3 material, which is useful again in the making of Clerks 3, since they are making Clerks within Clerks 3, I get to take all these stories I've told over the course of 27 years about making Clerks and distillize them into like a scene in the flick that like really fires up. It's a secret weapon. These are, you know, arrows weren't available in my quiver when I started because I didn't have a full quiver. But after like 27 years, I got a bunch of tropes and quivers that I could pull out, arrows that I could pull out of the quiver and fire into the script.
No, it's really cool. And again, as fans, and we're all, you know, obviously massive fans, to see this and to see you on a high. I mean, to follow you on social media and the fact that you were sort of training, getting ready, you know, your health, you know, has taken a complete 180. And here you are. But all of that stuff, you said that the arrows that you have now that can inform the performances in the script, that's something really cool. But then on the other side, you also have another project that's on fire, the Masters of the Universe on Netflix, getting rave reviews.
Yeah, honestly, the best reviews I've had since Clerks, ironically enough. From the established press, you know, from the folks that write.
May I read one quickly, Kevin? It's from the Daily Beast. It says, the new Netflix series honors its predecessor in ways notable and sly, while also humanizing its larger-than-life heroes and villains. Kids of the 80s, rejoice.
Mm.
And well, I don't know what show they're watching. There's a bunch of people on the internet telling me it's a lot different than that.
Oh, the internet.
That's the review that like we were dreaming of getting when we were doing the show, and largely that has been the reaction. Overwhelmingly, that has been the reaction. On my Twitter feed, it's been 90% love, about 10% people who, you know, not quite calling for my death, but pretty damn close. This has been the eye of Sauron has not fallen on me like this since Dogma. And
wow.
It's very similar. Yeah. It's very similar in as much as like when we were making Dogma, I swear to you, I didn't think I was like, you know, going to piss off Catholics. I thought every Catholic would be like, oh, I get this. Like, I totally understand this because I went to church my whole life. And instead it wound up pissing a bunch of people off. So there was the same thing kind of happened here. Not the same numbers, obviously, but like there were a bunch of people who I like would have bet my life on the fact we're going to love this thing because it plays with all of the mythology of the Masters of the Universe going right back to the toys. But there was a lot of them did go for it in that way, but there was a percentage of folks that are deeply, deeply angry at me.
That's ridiculous.
And the only thing I could say about that, like, you know, people have asked me to apologize for ruining their childhood. I just want to remind people, like, we have, the weird thing is, like, some people are behaving as if they've never seen a TV show or a movie before and, like, don't understand that this isn't real and that the story's not over yet.
Right.
We're literally halfway through the story. So even in the first 5 episodes, we have killed off characters who have managed to come back. So it's like, fear not, kids. Like, do you think Mattel would really hire me? Mattel Television, like, paid for all this.
Right.
Do you think they'd really hire me to mess up the line of Masters of the Universe toys so they couldn't sell toys? The beautiful news is we've been selling out of toys like crazy. The Target and Walmart initiatives, the Masters of the Universe Revelation lines are sold out everywhere, man.
So there you go. That's the proof. Yeah.
Here's something cool.
The proof is in the pudding. But the thing is, like, I just want to urge people who are like, where's He-Man? It's like 5 more episodes. I'll tell you right now, spoilers. Episode 7 has one of the most violent Skele-God and He-Man fights you'll ever see, ever produced, until they make a live-action version of this stuff.
Okay.
Like, just wait, kids. But some people get so antsy where they're like, it's 5 episodes and it's not what I wanted it to be. I'll tell you right now, this makes me leery of ever going near an established franchise again. I don't have to deal with this kind of stuff when I play with my own characters.
Yeah. Right. But even then,
anyone gets upset about that, if they're like, what did you do to Jay and Silent Bob? I'm like, exactly what needed to be done. But these characters, I completely understand, are not my characters. And while those who own these characters and, like, who, you know, distribute the money for these characters felt like that we told an excellent, worthy story of their mythology, there's a percentage of people out there who have loved this show, perhaps since childhood, perhaps since later, who feel that we have dropped the ball. And, you know, I would urge them, just wait till the end. I swear to you, everything you think you're missing, you're going to get in the back five.
But I love
you,
it.
Don't reach that. If you've only stayed with us for the first few and never want to return, all I could do is say thank you to returning for returning it with us, because good and bad, people who loved it and people who hated it, we were in the global top 10 all weekend long and in the top five in most of the main.
Kev, here's something kind of cool. Over the weekend, you hosted a panel for Masters of the Universe, but did you know that Preston and Steve hosted a panel with Zack Snyder and the gang from Army of Thieves.
Yeah, that was cool.
I did not know that you guys did that, but I know that you guys are nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes! Yes, we are, sir. Yeah, no.
That is massive. That yeah. is massive, bro. Yeah.
And there's a...
What is it, a competitive thing, or do you just get it?
No, we're up against a few others.
Yeah, and there's a fan vote angle to it as well, so you know, people who like the show can vote on it. So we're hoping it'd be nice if we inducted into the Hall of Fame.
These good people get up every morning and make you happy. The least you could do is put them in the books. That's all they want. The whole life, they want to be in the books.
That's right.
Open the books. Put them in the books, people.
Kevin, you know how the...
Skykill. All the people of Skykill and stuff like that.
Skykill.
Concha Hawken. You know how at the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, you guys go around and you beat the crap out of everybody that gives you a bad review, and that imagery has stuck with me throughout the history of social media. The fantasy of going and doing things like that to people that speak down on you. But I'm surprised that you care about reviews on Masters of the Universe, because it's your art. You know, and you've proven yourself over this amount of time. The fact that some of that 10% exists still gets under your skin seems a little surprising to me.
Oh my God, it's so heartbreaking to me, because like I, as an entertainer, a would-be entertainer, like, you know, and now that I've been doing it for almost 30 years, I'm an entertainer. Like for years, I've been going like, I hope to be I'm an entertainer. You just want to make everybody happy. I've never wanted to make a polemic. I've never wanted to like make people angry at me. And that all throughout my career, it has happened. And even though I'm not trying, like Dogma is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Chasing Amy made people mad a little bit. Even on Clerks, there were a bunch of people that were mad about, you know, the language, the NC-17 that we originally got. Like, periodically throughout my career, I've found myself at the center of controversy, and I don't seek it. I'm not one of those people that likes to stir the pot. Like, look at my Instagram, look at my Twitter. No. I'm not even remotely political. Like, I'm not out there talking about who's president and stuff like that. It's clear I'm fairly liberal in my politics based on the movies I make, based on the fact that whenever you meet me, I'm high as a kite. But, like, I'm never out there trying to push an agenda. And on this show, all weekend long on social media, I have been told how I'm pushing some sort of woke agenda. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm literally playing with the toys they gave me. There are three girl characters in all of Masters of the Universe. The rest are boys. Sorceress, Teela, and Evelyn. We added one more, Andra. And that's not woke, kids. That's me playing with the toys I got. Teela was in every episode of He-Man, the Master of the Universe. She was one of the first figures launched in 1981 from the first line. So we didn't do anything that they haven't been doing for years. The only thing we did differently is kill off, seemingly, a main character. But like I said, in this world, whoever really dies. So, like, people find issue with things like Teela's haircut, where they're like, they're trying to make all of our kids gay with this haircut. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, a sidewall haircut has been around for a while.
Yeah.
Like, and the real simple reason that we have it is not because of a woke agenda, is because I worked on Supergirl. Kyler Lee had a sidewall haircut for her character one year. And when we started, I was like, oh, that's cool. Let's do Kyler's haircut. And then 2 years later, a bunch of people are like, you're trying to put lesbian juice in my daughter's drinks. And I'm like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah. But you know this. People have, you know, they get to stick up their ass about everything. And if you think of the person who's getting so twisted up over Masters of the Universe.
What kind of life does that person have?
Yeah.
This is entertainment.
Honestly, like, I do thrill at the fact that people give me more credit as a writer by thinking that I'm working on more than one level here. But, like, literally.
Like 3D chess.
Yeah.
Like this is a superficial. It's not even like you could come at Dogma and be like, look, yes, it's telling a story, but it also pokes, provokes and pokes hot-button issues with deep faith and whatever. You can't do that with Masters of the Universe. It's literally an action figure story. And somehow people are trying to, like, build narratives underneath. For example, they got mad at us. I couldn't believe that there was a contingency that would be vocal enough to say something like, we have a character in ours called King Grayskull, who is a black character. King Grayskull has never existed in the 1981 Masters of the Universe line and the 1983 He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon that we are a spiritual sequel to. They have done King Grayskull once in the 2002 Mike Young Productions version of Masters of the Universe, which we don't touch at all. We're not allowed to touch. So technically, King Grayskull never existed in our world. In episode 5, we introduced King Grayskull as one of the former champions. And we, you know, since MOTU was created in the 80s and has a lot of white characters, we felt like, why not be more inclusive? We have a lot of black fans. So here's a character that's never been done before in our incarnation. Let's make him black. And then people created, like, controversy online by being like, they race flipped a character. And technically, we did not race flip a character. We never had that character. But even if we did race flip a character, why was that? Why would that be such a bad thing?
But,
like, I'm in murky territory here, kids. I never deal
right.
with people like this. I never deal with issues like this. I'm not involved in culture wars. Like, you know, I'm on the fringes of pop culture, commenting on it and trying to make it at the same time. But I ain't out there lobbing pop culture bombs at people, trying to, like, make war with my art. So I'm in unfamiliar waters and territory. Thank God I've got Clerks 3 going on. I've been busy with that all weekend. Otherwise, I would have been on Twitter constantly trying to answer people that
yeah.
won't be answered. I've gone out of my way to be really polite and try to explain things, but, like, people just want to fight, and I'm a lover, not a fighter.
You know, yeah. You know, I think is happening here, though, also, Kevin, to some point, is that so much of this, with all that's been going on for, you know, with the pandemic and all that stuff, and you know, entertainment and things, these kind of diversions have been so necessary, and people are just glomming onto everything, that you probably have a hyper awareness and hyper paranoia that's sort of seeping its way into it. But I think the dust will settle. I mean, because it's, you know, again, it's Masters of the Universe. It's not yeah. anything more, you know, it's not deeper than that. It's got more gravitas than you might have remembered from the earlier series. But the truth of the matter is, it's entertainment. And so, I mean, I assume you in your heart of hearts know that it will, you know, the dust will settle, because so many of the reviews, as I read earlier, have been great.
I have the benefit, like, you know, believe me, I do eat my heart out about stuff like this, because, like, I am a fan at heart. Like,
yeah.
I'm somebody who sits in the audience, and one day I will return solely to the audience. And I've been there at the epicenter, or at least watching. So I've never been at the epicenter, but I've been there when things have happened in pop culture, like when, you know, people split on Last Jedi and whatnot. And, you know, naturally, we went out of our way not to do that and somehow found ourselves there regardless. So, you know, it does kind of hurt me, in as much as doesn't seem to hurt me as much as it hurts the people who seem really deeply offended by the show we've made. But this is what I have the benefit of knowing on my side. Like, I know the people at Netflix and they know the numbers.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I was, you know, eating my heart out on the 25th. Like, reaching out to my betters, my uppers, people to pay my checks and whatnot, and being like, I'm sorry that I'm creating all this. I'm sorry that they're having this discussion. Like, I feel like this is entirely my fault.
Well, their
answer was, unsurprisingly, to giggle and be like, Kevin, this is a dream come true. People are talking about Masters of the Universe, and we can directly, you know, they've got all the numbers, right?
Yeah.
So you could see where, like, a lot of anti, like, hate videos or people who, like, don't watch this, when they start posting those videos, I'm not lying, I'm not making it up. You can literally watch our numbers grow, because suddenly people are hearing about a show they maybe didn't hear about, and the version they're being told exists sounds appealing to them. It doesn't sound unappealing. So
right.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Like, I really don't want to provoke people that are already mad. But, kids, if you hate something, say nothing.
Yeah.
If you love something, scream from the rafters. But if you hate something, it's going to communicate to more views. And it doesn't matter to Netflix whether those people love it or hate it. Mm. Views is what matters. Naturally, they'd like it if people liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's all about the views. And right now, we're crushing with views. So it's
So,
you know, the numbers at least are on our side. I just wish that the people that don't like it loved it as much as I do.
So are you now going to start lobbying to direct the next Star Wars series?
Yeah. Oh, God, no. Quite the opposite. I mean, it'll be a long time before I feel very comfortable going near somebody else's toys again.
Do you know, that's depressing because you did such a good job with the DC stuff. You mentioned Supergirl and all that stuff. And, I mean, you're a fan. It comes from a place of fandom. And I'd love to see you interpret this stuff. And that sucks.
This was bliss, man, and I had such a great time doing it and stuff. But if this was the only time, I'd be okay with that because it was so wonderful. And apparently a bunch of people would be okay with that if this was the only time for me. Okay. But that being said, I doubt it's the last time. We have five more episodes that are already done. Bear McCreary finished the score for 10. I just heard the mix for 9. So the back five are locked and stuff. And the future looks bright. That's
awesome. Kevin, I saw a picture you posted of you and Jason Mewes outside of your old school as you're getting ready, as you're, prepping for Clerks 3. Had you guys both been back there? How long had it been since you were on those grounds?
I'm literally in Highlands right now. What I do is I get up every morning. I don't know why I can't sleep out here, but I'm up like an old man by 6. So I was trying to kind of get in the same shape I was and reboot. I put on quarantine 2025, so I was able to take that off by coming here, not only walking, running back home in Los Angeles, but when I got here, I come to Highlands, my hometown, parking in front of my old home, 21 Jackson Street, and then I go replicating the walk that I used to take to high school, because in my memory it was it's a 45-minute walk, it's up a hill, so it's a good walk. It literally, door to door, it's 12 minutes.
Wow.
I had to figure out a way to loop it and extend it and do it more. So it's enabled me to spend a lot of time every morning in my hometown walking around, not just what I thought I was going to walk, but, the whole town is 1 square mile, so if you do it twice, you got 2 miles on you and stuff. And it's been wonderful, because I walk around, everything, places, memory, every place is oh, my God, that's where we did this, that's the rec center, that's where we used to skate, that's where I got to second base. Everything is a deep, abiding memory, and that's great heading into Clerks 3, which is such a nostalgia fest. So
we couldn't have
picked a better place.
With everybody in the cast, with the entire cast returning, it's going to be a cool walk down memory lane, because I'm sure that some of the cast members remember something slightly differently than maybe you did when you guys were on set and you're shooting this. So this is going to be, it's going to be so much fun to reminisce about this amongst that crew.
I think so. I think it's going to feed the beast, man. It's going to make it a real spirited project. And, I for some reason, I think we've been around long enough. These guys have been around long enough that, it'll connect in a big, bad way with the audience. Yeah. I'm not saying, you're going to make $100 million, not at all. But I think people are going to really go for it, particularly the people who grew up with us. If you have been with us since 1994 with Clerks, you're going to feel welcomed back. You're going to be like, oh, my God, we're home again.
Yeah.
We're back at the convenience store. It's going to make people feel good in a way. And this one, Reboot had that plus kids in it. This is kid-free. This is really kind of about us, those of us at middle age, and the journey that we've made.
Well, it still plays, obviously, we love seeing this. We love seeing the old friends, coming back and all the stuff. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask, quick reviews. We always have your take on stuff. Black Widow, have you seen yet? I assume you have.
I did. I enjoyed Black Widow. The opening was wonderful. I thought that it would suffer from following Endgame, where it's just how do you go back in time and tell that story after we've seen her sacrifice her life? But I thought they did a good job, really good job, better than I ever could. But I do think that it benefited from being a Disney Plus premiere. In a post-COVID world, that might have underwhelmed a little bit after the glory of Endgame, the majesty of Endgame. But at home, an absolutely perfect watch. I've watched it 3 times. David Harbour is wonderful.
Yep.
What's her name? Florence Pugh is fantastic. Scarlett is always great.
How do you reconcile that? Because we actually had talked to Zack Snyder about this as well. With the split release, theater and home at the same time, from your point of view, pros and cons.
You know, once you bring it home, the minute you bring it home, you kind of remove the magic of what's special about it at a movie theater and stuff. So I could see where, you know, the theatrical folks want to keep that window at 3 months. Keep it, you know, from the same time release, which was, of course, very necessary during the pandemic. It hurts their business. It's great for the studios because they get to keep 100% of the profit. And they could charge you $30 to watch the thing at home. And this is the direction that I think the studios or the theatrical distribution industry has been fearing for years and years and years. Might be tough to put that genie back in the bottle. The big movies are always going to be safe. People will always want to go out to see the giant films and stuff. But for folks like me who make the weird movies, the mid-range movie, the low-budget movie, you know, now we're creatures of the streaming industry. Thank God Lionsgate got beyond Clerks 3, so we'll actually get to go out in theaters and stuff. We'll probably do a tour again like we did with Reboot.
Excellent.
But, you know, I can see it. And as much as, like, sometimes it breaks your heart, it's like that's the way of progress.
Yeah.
You know, I also... I like DVDs quite a bit, and now I don't even play with those because it's so much easier to stream. So sometimes it looks like theaters will always be with us, but they'll, you know, eventually be like record stores, high-end items for people that are willing to pay a premium price for an experience they once enjoyed on a regular basis back in the day.
Wow. Interesting take. Yeah. Well, listen, Kev, we hope you guys have fun on this shoot. It's a few weeks of you guys really diving into it and getting back with the old gang. So, and we're excited about the end product, and down the road, we'll talk about that when it's coming around, but it's always great to have you on, man. So good luck with everything, brother.
Such a pleasure. Before I get off this coast, I'm going to come see you guys in person.
Love it.
Oh, that's the best. Excellent. All right.
Hopefully it won't be during the next wave of the pandemic.
Right. All right. Thanks, man. Kevin Smith.
Yay.
Take care, bud. We'll see you. Oh, that is so cool. I love hearing all that stuff. Wow.
Though, it wasn't a surprise that there was going to be, you have something as revered, you know, I see things, you know, occasionally because of the sites that I'll visit that are, you know, like, you know, the real nerdy stuff, and people freak out over the dumbest things.
Oh, I know.
And then listen, if it comes from a place of adoration, but the stupidity, sometimes this is like, what you're. Is that really twisting you up? Is that really an issue?
I've heard that phrase, thanks for ruining my childhood, several times.
Yeah,
and I'm like, come on,
it's silly.
That's just a minor overstatement.
No, listen,
not
Godfather 3. Was not what it should have been. Right.
Mm-hmm. One and two are still brilliant.
Didn't kill one and two for me.
Yeah, and you know, listen, I watched He-Man. I wasn't allowed to watch it, but I watched it anyway.
Did you see any of the new kids?
No, I will,
it's
though.
It's really good.
I'm looking forward to it because I've watched old He-Man, Masters of the Universes, and it doesn't hold up.
I was never that big a fan. Uh-huh. It was past my time. But
so this stuff looks way better.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
He's the showrunner. He's the one who's making sure, you know, this sort of tone and everything is in place.
Yep. Well, all right. Well, hey, he's going to come visit us.
Nice.
Excellent. So we'll do that.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.